In June, world leaders will gather in Brazil for the Rio Plus 20 summit. The occasion will mark 20 years since the original Earth Summit, and it's being billed as an opportunity once again to tackle the various environmental challenges facing the planet, from climate change and pollution to sustainable living. In the lead-up to the summit, The World Tonight will be reporting from around the world on many of the issues being considered there. We begin in Denmark, which has just made a rather bold commitment in the field of renewable energy. Our reporter Paul Moss has been hearing all about it.
The city of Copenhagen likes to pride itself on its environmental credentials. The streets here almost all have cycle paths. The water in the harbour is so clean, people regularly swim in it. And around the harbour and elsewhere in this city, there are giant windmills producing clean, carbon dioxide-free electricity. And it's the generation of energy that's behind Denmark's latest very bold environmental initiative. The government has committed this country to increase massively the proportion of its energy that comes from renewable sources, like windmills, but also solar power and wave power. But can this work? And crucially, is it something other countries could do, or strictly a matter for the environmentally friendly Danes? I've been speaking to engineers, politicians, economists and the odd sceptic to try to find out. It looks at first sight like a rather old-fashioned piece of machinery, but the giant turbines at Everdora represent technology as modern as it comes, because they're generating electricity entirely from clean, renewable sources. This particular turbine burns biomass, straw and other kinds of agricultural waste. It's run by Denmark's biggest power company, Dong Energy. And their vice president, Thomas Dalsgaard, has an ambitious goal. Within 3 decades, he says, they will have ditched the use of coal altogether. Instead, he says, almost all power will come from renewable sources.
It's a huge transformation of the company. We refit our plants, but we believe that the future is not based on coal. Coal has issues both with the climate, also with security of supply. Hence we went into the wind business, and hence we are also going in so heavily into biomass. But it is difficult. All the things that you knew, you need basically to shift that and make a whole new way of operating the business.
Men den korte version af besvarelsen er,
well, now it seems the whole of Denmark is set to undergo an equally radical transformation. The Danish Energy Minister has announced that by the end of the decade, this country will generate a third of its energy from renewable sources, sources which do not emit any net carbon dioxide. Even more ambitiously, by 2050, they promise, the whole country will run on clean energy. It's not such a surprise, perhaps, to see a left-of-centre Danish government make commitments on renewable energy. But what is extraordinary is that nearly everyone here accepts the move. The opposition Liberal Party, for example, is fiercely pro-business and pro-free market. But its shadow minister, Lika Friis, insists that switching to renewables is not about environmental idealism. It's more a matter of Scandinavian common sense.
No matter what we do, will have an increase in price of energy, simply because people in India, China want to have a car, they also want to travel. That means they will have an immense increase in the consumption of energy worldwide. That is why we came out with a clear ambition to be independent of fossil fuels. So we are not vulnerable against the great fluctuations in the energy price.
There was a similar mood of financial pragmatism when I visited Denmark's most famous factory, the place where they make and bottle Carlsberg beer. It's quite a sight, and indeed a smell. From the moment you walk in, you're bombarded by the odour of hops and yeast. But these days, Carlsberg also bombard you with arguments in favour of clean energy. Don't be mistaken, this is a hard-nosed, profit-oriented company. But its spokeswoman, Zunda Campos, insists they too are right behind the government's new commitment.
If you look at where Carlsberg is placed global-wise, we are in Asia, we are in Eastern Europe, and in some of those locations, there is not energy sufficient to produce the beer we need. So we need to think about alternatives, we need to find other ways of producing energy.
There is an economic crisis on, though, in most parts of the world, and many people will think this is not the time for a company like yours to be thinking about issues that won't affect you for quite a long time to come, they'll say.
Many of those issues regarding fossil fuel and lack of energy are already happening today. And of course, there is a crisis, there is a focus on economy, but we also need to think future if you want still to be a profitable company.
Of course, it's not Carlsberg that will have to build all the infrastructure to turn this country into an environmental nirvana. For a start, any country using renewable energy has to find a way to store it for when the wind isn't blowing and the sun isn't shining, something that remains a technical challenge. And once you turn all that sun and wind into electricity, you then have to distribute it. And that's no mean feat, as I found out when I spoke to Hans-Erik Christoffersen from Denmark's National Grid.
Historically, we have located power plants near the large consumption areas, meaning near the industry and the large cities. But in the future, a lot of the energy will come from wind parks that will be located in the North Sea. And the electricity grid will need to be extended to where the wind turbines are located. Huge investments are going to be needed.
The question is, of course, whether the Danish public will stay on board with this process once the bill starts coming in for that huge investment. Superficially, you get the impression that Danes are all signed up to the brave new green future, as if an entire nation had decided to brand itself as the eco-friendly alternative. But then, some people here will tell you that image is deeply misleading.
Copenhagen is known for its cycling lanes, but every time they want to make cycling lanes, they will have public protests from car owners feeling pushed out of the city and shopkeepers saying, no, we're going to lose profit because people can't park.
Anne Sophia Tuhager is a researcher at Copenhagen University. She spent 2 years studying Danish attitudes to the environment.
When you do surveys, Danish people will tell you that they are very concerned about climate change, for instance. But when you ask people, will you go into Copenhagen by train, they will say no, because I need my car, I won't change. Danes are like the rest of the people of the world. When you ask them to change their lives because of climate change, they will say, well, that's a really good idea, but I just don't have time today.
And Sophia Tuhager of Copenhagen University. It's ironic that Denmark, which has set such ambitious goals for renewable energy, is also home to one of renewable energy's most famous critics. Bjørn Lomborg has become an international thorn in the side of environmental campaigners by arguing that wind power, solar power and all the rest of them are a waste of money and won't actually affect climate change. So, not surprisingly, Mr. Lomborg isn't happy about Denmark's new commitment to run the country on renewable energy resources, as I found out when I visited him at his apartment in central Copenhagen.
The problem is, of course, if you make electricity more costly, you will also slow down growth in other sectors. And so ultimately, when we run this through the economic models, we see a loss for Denmark of about $2,000 per family. And that's a lot to pay.
But what the government of Denmark says, and indeed most of the opposition parties say, is that in the long run this is going to make energy cheaper because all these other forms of energy, like coal and gas, are going to be much more expensive, particularly with demand going up in countries like China and India.
That is certainly their argument. But if you look at the past, that has not been the case. We have invested in renewable energy and lost lots of money on it, whereas coal has remained pretty constant in price, and gas has actually now declined for a very simple reason. We have been able to unlock a large new reservoir of gas through the term fracking. We're essentially able to get out a lot of shale gas. And that will probably drive the price down over the next couple of decades, possibly even the next half century.
There may be shale gas underground which can be used, but no one knows how much of it there is. And the point that the government and opposition are making is that by having renewable energy, it's energy that Denmark knows is there. Wind, wave, solar energy, it's not going anywhere and it's homegrown.
Sure, we know the energy is there. And we also know that that green energy right now is much more expensive than fossil fuels. Now, in the future, it may be that green energy will be cheaper, and then of course we should buy it. I think we should fix climate change by moving from very polluting coal to much less polluting gas. Not only is that much more plausible to happen, it also is cheaper, and it will ultimately have a much bigger range, not just a few idealistic countries like Denmark, but potentially everyone in Europe and even abroad as well. But what they're talking about instead is to say, let's put up windmills because they make us all feel good. Yes, it will be good for windmill producers, but it will be bad news for all the other businesses that use energy. And ultimately, we know that this will probably reduce the growth rate.
The new commitment on renewable energy has the support of the Danish business community. The Danish Confederation of Industry say they're happy about it. All these companies believe it's going to give them cheaper energy in the long run. Now, these are very hard-nosed, business-minded people. They're not environmental idealists. Are you saying that all of them are wrong?
I'm saying that they're probably trying to put a happy face on the fact that at least the legislation that passed through the parliament was much less expensive than what the government had originally proposed. But it doesn't make it a good deal. Buying energy that's much more expensive than the one that we can get right now is simply not the right way to make Danish or any business grow.
The campaigner and self-styled sceptical environmentalist Bjørn Lomborg. Well, I had the chance to take some of the criticisms of Denmark's renewable energy strategy and put them to the energy minister himself. I first asked Martin Lidegaard whether he could really be sure that his plans made financial sense.
None of us can predict exactly what will happen in the future. So what we have to calculate are the risks. And if we look, the risk that we will see explosions in resource prices is there. And what we want to do is to secure our population, secure our industry, that we will have a stable, clean and cheap energy supply also in 10 years.
But the fact is your plan is completely uncosted. The infrastructure developments that are needed are huge. No idea how much that's going to cost. You don't even know how you're going to store all this clean energy, let alone how much that's going to cost. To many people, this remains a shot in the dark.
Sorry, I have to disagree with you. We actually have a plan of how to use all the wind. We want to expand our connections to our neighbors. We want to use electricity and store it in our heating systems in Denmark. And we want to introduce electrical vehicles. It has a cost to invest in the future.
But you don't know what the cost is.
It has a cost, but it also has a cost not to do it. And that's my point. I have a pretty good idea about what the costs are if we don't do something. And I'm very convinced that this is going to be the best business case we've ever made in Denmark.
Around the world, there's a lot of evidence that the voting public in countries tends to be rather short-term. You can tell me that, well, in 10, 20, maybe 30 years' time, what we're doing will make energy prices cheaper, make energy more reliable. But voters often don't think that far ahead. How can you be sure that you can bring the public along with you?
I think it all emerged from the oil crisis in the 1970s, where there was a very strong public movement towards more green energy. And then in the 1980s and 1990s, we had some very strong energy politicians who took a lead and said, let's make a change. And due to these people, it has been kind of consensus. The combination of public movement and political leadership is the explanation of how we can gain so broadly public support for the green development we are trying to achieve.
Do you think this could be done in other countries? Because Denmark, after all, is blessed by strong winds, potential for wave power. Or do you think any country could make the kind of ambitious targets you've made for renewable energy?
I am 100% sure, not only that other countries could do it, but that other countries will do it, simply because of the development of the markets. But I'm also very convinced that what is the solution in Denmark is not necessarily the same solution for other countries. I mean, to take an obvious example, we have a lot of wind in Denmark. They don't have so much wind in Switzerland. you have a lot of wind in UK. So each country will have to find their solutions. But the basic question, is it doable, is it possible, and will it happen? Yes.
The Danish Energy Minister, Martin Lidegaard. His government's plans for renewable energy do still have to be debated in the Danish Parliament. That will probably happen in the next couple of months. But with almost every MP of every political shade supporting them, passing the measures should be just a formality. But then, of course, the real work begins, working out how exactly to turn these very ambitious goals into reality.
That report from Paul Moss in Denmark.